Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15. This is God's word. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. A fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. The house of the righteous contains great treasure, but the income of the wicked brings them trouble. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. Stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path. He who hates correction will die. Death and destruction lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men? A mocker resents correction. He will not consult the wise. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fattened calf with hatred. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly delights a man who lacks judgment, but a man of understanding keeps a straight course. Plans fail for lack of knowledge, but with many advisors they succeed. A man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. The path of life leads upward for the wise to keep him from going down to the grave. The Lord tears down the proud man's house, but he keeps the widow's boundaries intact. The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but those of the pure are pleasing to him. A greedy man brings trouble to his family, but he who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. He who ignores discipline despises himself, But whoever heeds correction gains understanding. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. You know, if they had just taken a little more time in putting together the book of Proverbs, they could have organized these things better. With just a little effort, they could have made it so that you had all the verses that are warnings against folly and sloth in one section, and then all the statements about the importance of our speech, what we say, in another section, and then a little collection of verses concerning the need to learn to de-escalate conflict, and then perhaps another section, maybe one chapter on the value of a cheerful attitude. What do you think? You think they were just in a hurry putting this together? No. Part of the methodology of teaching is that you keep coming back and reiterating certain points. And that's what's happening here in this chapter. So I've taken the time to go through and kind of collect them into clumps. But I want you to know that the reason why these various admonitions, that is instructions, are spread throughout the chapter and spread throughout this book are because we need repetition. And if we just start hearing the same thing one after another, it's like, okay, got it. And we haven't got it. We need to be reminded repeatedly, don't do this, do this. Remember this over and over and over. And that's one reason we not only keep coming back to study the Word of God day after day is because we need the repetition, but because, folks, you and I need to be telling ourselves the truth all day long. When our thoughts try and take us in the wrong direction, we need to remind ourselves, this is what God says. This is what's right. This is what's true. So as we look at these, realize there are a bunch of warnings against folly and against sloth. What's folly? Folly is doing things that are stupid. And one of the statements that's in here is that the wicked really delight, and the foolish delight in folly. Now, I don't believe that this is a prohibition against watching comedies where people do stupid things for our entertainment. But it is a warning against thinking that that's cool. If your goal is to be like an Adam Sandler character, okay, then you will have a miserable life, guaranteed. Please understand that to live a life of foolishness and delight in doing things that are stupid is not the path to pleasing God, and it's not even the path to joy for yourself. So, there are warnings against folly and warnings against sloth. What's sloth? Sloth is laziness. That's why it says that there are all kinds of things impeding the path of the slothful. In other words, if you're lazy, you can always come up with 100 excuses why I can't do this. And we see that theme repeated all through the book of Proverbs as if Solomon had a good work ethic. I hope he taught his boys the value of working hard at whatever you do. Because in the New Testament, we're told that's something that is vital for followers of Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, you're to do it with all your might. Now, obviously, if you're doing something wicked, that's not going to rescue you. But you're not supposed to be doing something wicked to start with. But don't be halfway lackadaisical. Yes, I'm painting the wall. Get in there and work. Sloth, laziness, is displeasing to God. But our focus is going to be in a few other areas that I've already alluded to. The first is the importance of our speech. Verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. What you say can have a profound impact on the situation. I will not give illustrations here this morning, but I will tell you that I have seen where people were really getting tense and somebody said something and it just totally calmed the situation down. And I've seen other situations where people were starting to get tense and somebody said something and it was like they threw a hand grenade. I mean, just everything blows up. Don't let your words be hand grenades. Instead, a gentle answer turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs up anger. What you say makes a difference. Look at verse 2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge. A wise person will say things that will encourage other people to know and do what is right. The mouth of a fool is not silent, but what's gushing out, what's pouring out, is sewage. It's waste. You don't want to be that. Well, then you need to be commending knowledge. Look at verse 4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Your words have the power to bring healing, to bring life. But your words also, if they're deceitful, can do great harm. Don't be deceitful. And when we talk about a word that calms the situation, a word that brings healing, we're not talking about lying to people. We're not talking about making stuff up so that people will feel better and everything will be good. In the end, it sets people up for disaster. Be honest. Now be honest nicely. Does this dress make me look fat? How are you going to answer that? Why do people ask questions like that? Because they want validation. Give them some validation that is honest. Honey, you're beautiful. Don't worry about that. You look great in that dress. I mean, assuming she looks great in that dress. If she doesn't look great in that dress, say, I like that one better. Okay? But for goodness sake, don't be deceitful. Because that will not help the situation. Look at verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Well, now, I thought this is more about the de-escalating conflict thing. It is, but it's something else. How does a hot-tempered man stir up dissension? With what he says. A patient man calms a quarrel. Look at verse 23. A man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. Verse 28. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. I say it again. We'll see it over and over again in the book of Proverbs. What you say makes a difference. Be careful with your words. Practice saying things that are helpful, kind, and true. Our speech is very powerful, very important, and we're all going to give an account for what we do with it.
We hope you are blessed by Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. We would like to get to know you better and hope you will take a short survey at pastorwood.org. It will only take a minute or two. Every week, we will draw a few names from those listeners who take this survey. They will be offered a free book of their choosing that is listed at pastorwood.org. We truly hope all our listeners will take this survey. Please visit our website at pastorwood.org and take our survey today. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
Now go back to verse 1 and verse 18. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Why would you want to calm a quarrel? Why would you want to make things better when you could have the fun of watching a spectacle? I know a lot of people who love to stir things up. And I want you to understand, when it's telling us the importance of de-escalating conflict with our speech, it's because that kind of conflict is not good. And we should not be doing what we can to try and egg it on and encourage. Did you know what he said? Did you know what she did? Don't do that. God is displeased when you try and stir up dissension. De-escalate the conflict. Find a way to make it better. I want to look at a number of verses about the importance of receiving counsel and correction. Look at verse 5. A fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. You want to be wise or you want to be foolish? It has to do with how you respond to correction. How many of you have ever needed correction? I mean, we all do sometimes. How you receive correction will determine where you end up. If you are determined to just keep going the way you're going because nobody's going to tell me what to do, by golly, I'm smarter than most people I know, and I'm going to get this thing done, and everybody else can just change their behavior to go along with mine because I know what I'm doing. Don't anybody tell me otherwise. If that's your attitude, you're being very foolish. Verses 5, 10, 12, 22, 31, and 32 all talk about how important it is to receive correction. He who ignores discipline, verse 32, despises himself. You get that? If you ignore correction, if you ignore discipline, you're despising yourself. You're making your life a mess. But whoever heeds correction gains understanding. A cheerful attitude is extremely valuable and will make an enormous difference in what kind of life you live. If you've got a positive attitude, it really makes a difference. Look at verse 4. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. Look at verse 13. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. Look at verse 15, one of my favorite verses. All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. If you've got a positive outlook, no matter what's going on around you, you're having a good time all the time. They're always looking on the bright side. It's just, you know, it's going to be okay. I'll tell you something that helps me to keep a positive attitude. The worst things that ever happen to me are all temporary. If I get sick with a painful, wasting disease, I know it can't last forever. Sooner or later, I am guaranteed to die. And then everything's going to be spectacular. My best day on earth, no matter how good it is just a prelude. What's coming for me is better than my best day here. I am looking forward to the future. And whatever difficulty I have to go through between now and my getting home, it's okay. Because God knows how much I can take. And He has promised that He's going to take me to be with Him someday. And every tear is going to be wiped away. So, I can have a good time, even in bad times. Cheerful attitude makes a difference. But you know, the one theme that we've referred to previously that every chapter brings us back to? The fact that we must deal with God. Verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. We've got to deal with God. He sees everything that's going on. You never fool Him. He knows the thoughts and intentions of our heart. He knows our motivation. Look at verse 8. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases Him. Even if you offer a sacrifice to God, if your heart is wicked, God despises your phoniness. But the prayer of the upright pleases Him. One person's offering a sacrifice, but his heart isn't in it. The other person is simply praying, and God is pleased. God sees everything. He knows everything. Verse 9, the Lord detests the way of the wicked, but He loves those who pursue righteousness. He loves those who pursue righteousness. Verse 11, death and destruction lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men? God sees everything, including what is in your heart. Look at verse 16. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Verse 24, the path of life leads upward for the wise to keep him from going down to the grave. What is that referring to? Our relationship with the Lord. Look at verse 26. The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but those of the pure are pleasing to Him. There's an extremely strong stream in our culture today and in our churches today that basically tries to suggest that God doesn't detest anything. Let me tell you something. God sees the genocide and the rape and the materialism and greed, and He detests the wicked. That's what it says in His word. He detests the thoughts of the wicked, but those of the pure are pleasing to Him. Look at verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. Look at verse 33. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. If you want to live a wise life, if you want to live a long life, if you want to live a joyful life, the most important thing you can do is come to grips with God. Because you and I are all going to have to deal with Him. There is no getting a transfer to another universe, okay? And if you are in a right relationship with God, then regardless of your circumstances, you're going to be fine. Guaranteed. By God, you will be fine if it is well with your soul. If things are right between you and the Lord, you're in good shape. But your circumstances may look fabulous temporarily. And if you're not right with God, it is going to be disaster for you. Guaranteed. Because God sees our thoughts. He sees our hearts. He knows everything. Come to grips with Him. Ask Him for mercy. Ask Him to rescue you. Put your trust in Him. He will not fail you. He always tells the truth. And you can have a cheerful heart and a continual feast when you're rejoicing in the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.